Hi, I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
And you're listening to Board on the Air on CFCR, where we talk about board games and board game related topics. On tonight's show, we'll be covering what we've been playing, the news, and for our main topic, board game box size.
Yep. It's rant night, everybody.
It'll be a little bit of ranting, but there'll also be some reasons why they should be that size.
Right, yeah.
I know why. But I'm still going to rant about it.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to that, though. Let's start with what we've been playing.
Absolutely.
Because we actually...
We played a bunch of games.
We played a bunch. We had a board game day at my place.
It was a lot of fun. We played on Friday.
Yep.
And played all day with some friends. Got some games. I got to play, and I'll let you tell me, because I forgot to write them down, so I'm going to have to follow off of you. but I can tell you one I do remember playing.
Okay.
Cartographers.
Okay.
Yeah, me and
Sierra
got to play two different maps of Cartographers. Now, I played these maps before. If anybody remembers a year and a bit ago, when I think I talked about how I played every single Cartographer map we owned on Christmas by myself.
Yeah, because we were playing Ark
Nova.
Because
you were playing Ark Nova.
Yeah.
And so I decided to play solo player Cartographers and just make my way through every single map. So I played these, but it's been a year. We played the Frost. It's been...
Year and a bit,
because it was two Christmases ago. Yeah. So we played the Frost Giant, or Frost Area, and the... Oh, I can't remember what they call the Islands one. It's a different plane. Really, those ones. So it's a fun name.
Okay.
So we played those two. Frost Giants, like basic Cartographers. You are flipping cards. There's four seasons, and you are flipping cards that have a shape on them and a terrain type. And you're trying to put those shapes and terrains on your map to score you the most points. You score points because there are scoring cards out that tell you how you're going to score. There are four different types. There's the housing ones, a terrain type you'll score based on your housing. There's one that scores the woodlands. There's one that scores the water and farmland. And there's one that scores the pattern. So a certain pattern of something. And those go in a different order. And you score each of those twice. They go in each season. So you score AB, then BC, then CD, then DA. And that's the general game. So you're flipping. You're putting those terrain types in. Each season, you flip a certain amount of cards, and then once you're done that, you score.
Okay.
We added in the expansions as well. Heroes, which, I think we just added in the Heroes expansion, which there are monsters, there are ambushes in the basic game. The heroes allow you to kind of defeat those monsters without just having to surround the map, or surround the monster blocks. And then on the maps that we did... So on the basic map, there's mountains, there's terrain, that's it, right? In the frost level, there's a frozen lake, and you're trying to surround every bit of the frozen lake so you get three coins, because each coin is worth a point. And then there are also set squares that have to be a certain terrain type. So like how mountains you can't go over, and temples, when you do a temple, it has to be on a temple space. These are like, they will show you a terrain type and you can only put that terrain type on there. So it blocks off some of your spaces that you can use kind of.
Yep.
And that was the only real difference. There are many expansions we could have added in. We took those out and just played with the Heroes expansion because it's the easiest.
Yep.
And a few different monsters. And it was pretty fun. I would say, like, for the base one, I do a pretty good job of, like, filling in all the spaces and making them as connected as possible and making a decently looking map.
Yep.
This one, no. You are all spread out. There are so many open squares everywhere you need to be because, like, you're trying, one, to score points, but also to fit them on the right spaces where they could be. But it was still a lot of fun. And then the island one is exactly what it sounds like. You have these little islands you can build on. And you have to like unlock those islands with a coin as well. So you can lose money with coins you lose money because you're spending things. So you lose points that way.
Yeah.
But you get access to more space to fill up. Cause if you're not able to put something down, you only get a one block and that can definitely lose you points when it's this small of a map. I did end up winning both of them probably because I had played before. And
that's
I had
not
some
very,
good luck.
I know.
Hosting.
Hospitable of you.
Yeah, but I had a ton of fun, and I love this game. It's a really simple roll and write.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite roll and writes. So yeah, I haven't played all the maps like you have.
I think there are some that we haven't bought yet also that I haven't played, but of the ones we've played, I've played all of them.
I thought I had bought all of them.
Well, it's been a few years, though.
Yeah, they haven't released
Okay, them. I thought they had.
Okay, the other one I played, or we all played, was Shipwrights of the North Sea.
That's it.
Redux.
That was the one I was trying to think of.
So this is Shem Phillips' first game ever. He just re-implemented it.
Yeah.
Kickstarter just delivered last week, and Paul brought it over, and we got to play a five-player game of it. We had played the original a month or two ago, and it was okay. There was nothing that really stood out to me.
Mm-hmm.
This one, as we played, I had a really good time. So in it, you are card drafting. And those cards you can use for abilities, for some of them are going to be ships that you can build, some are going to be houses you can build, some are workers that are going to help you build those things because you need different craftsmen to build different ships. Or you can trade them in just for resources and stuff. Each round you get six cards, and mm-hmm. it's this logic puzzle of how do I trade this for this to get this. And there's also a market, so the goods have different costs each round, so you're going back and forth as to what you want to buy versus what you want to trade in for. And ultimately, your goal is to build as many ships as you can, and some stuff is going to give you some endgame scoring.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of it, whoever has the most points wins, and I think I won this one. Or did I? I did win this one. Yeah, it was the greatest game ever. No, it was an improvement over the original. As I said, the original didn't stick with me at all. This one I was still thinking about afterwards, and I really like card drafting. I like the whole, this multi-use cards, and how do I do this the most efficiently so I can do stuff, right? I thought it was fun. I'm looking forward to trying it again.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with this one. I think I was pretty high. I think I was second, which I was pretty pleased about. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it was really solid. A good re-implementation by him. And looking forward to trying. The only one I haven't played of his now is Explorers that's been released.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul does have it, so we should play it sometime.
Yeah.
Last one we played was Half Truth.
Oh, yeah, right, the trivia one.
Let's talk about that one, because I had a lot of fun with this one.
I had a lot of fun with it.
It's a trivia push-your-luck game.
Yeah.
In it, you're going to flip over a card, and it's going to have a question on it with six answers. And three of the answers are correct, three of the answers are wrong. You roll a die, and for every correct answer, you're going to get that many victory points. If you get additional correct answers, you get single victory points, which add to your final score. The questions are ones that, for the most part, you can guess fairly well at.
Mm-hmm.
Some are a little bit tougher than others. We ended up going through and picking ones that we wanted to play.
Well, not quite. We shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Sarah went through and picked the interesting ones.
Yes.
So basically, there's a lot, because it's an American game, there's a lot of trivia that also relates specifically to like American history or American things, which, you know, we're Canadian. We know a bit about American stuff. We're connected to them, but not really specifics, right?
Well, and the other piece of it was, it was a 2019 game.
It's a 2019 game.
And some of the answers have changed a little bit.
Yeah, there was a Monopoly one, and it was like, which of these doesn't have a Monopoly? And me and Sierra both guessed one that currently has a Monopoly game.
Yeah.
And we couldn't believe it didn't have it before.
Yeah, so yeah, it's You play three rounds of this, and each round is somebody gets to 7 point, or the end of the track, or spaces you're moving up on,
mm-hmm.
and you get X amount of victory points for however far you've moved on that track. You do that three rounds, and then you add up all of those victory points, plus the ones you got in the rounds, and whoever has the most wins.
Yeah.
It was a fun party game. I likened it to Just One in that type of enjoyment where it doesn't last too long and you can quit and it's over before you get bored of it, right?
Yeah.
Production value had some nice poker chips. There was a lot of click, 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 click.
Yeah, we were all shuffling right? our poker chips.
There was a lot of that going on.
Did you explain how the poker chips work? Like, you pick, so there's six options. Did you say this?
No.
Okay, I didn't know if I'd zoned out.
Well, there's six questions, three right, three wrong.
Yeah, and you can choose to do one, and if you get that right, you get you move up on the track and you get points on that. But if you do more than one, you get an extra point for each one you get right. But if you get any wrong, you get no points.
Yes. I mentioned the first part, but not that last one. Yeah. And the way you guess is
you put poker chips
your poker chips are A through F, and you put those out.
Yeah. Can we talk about how I won this one?
And Shay won this one.
I am a trivia master. Admittedly, the knowledge that was in there, I got lucky with a few of them.
Like Pokemon?
Like Pokemon. Yeah. It's so funny. So we're playing with six of us, right? And a question comes out, which one of these are real Pokemon? And five of the six of us all play Pokemon. We play Pokemon Go. We play the actual Pokemon games. I'm sure, I don't know if Adam has played the trading card game at all, but who knows,
yes.
right? So we all know this, right? And Dave's over here. Have you even played a Pokemon game?
No.
Never played a Pokemon game. Listen to me and Jordan talk about it, but never played a Pokemon game.
I might have played the first level of Pokemon Snap on the N64.
Great. Awesome. So he had no idea, but the rest of us all got it right.
Yes. I think I got that wrong. Or maybe I got one
Oh, you got
right.
it wrong. No, you Did got it wrong. You got maybe one right, but yeah. you got something
Everybody
wrong.
Everybody else put three out.
Yeah.
And I think mine was in a spot where nobody else was, so
yeah.
I didn't
You
do
were
it.
Wrong. Yeah. It was
but
pretty funny.
I think it's out of print right now. But if you do come across it, like if somebody's selling it for a decent price, pick it up. It's
yeah,
fun.
It was a lot of fun.
If you're looking for a easy to get into trivia game.
Yeah.
Or trivia party game.
Really quick.
For up to six people. Yeah.
Yes, really quick, I do want to say one last game.
Okay.
Not going to talk a long time about it, because I've talked about it before. Wormspan.
Yes.
What did you think of it? Because I talked about how you had asked me, like, which one I prefer.
Yes.
Of Wormspan versus Wingspan. We finally got you to play it. So what were your thoughts on it, Dave?
I liked it. I thought the mechanics in it were a lot of fun. I think it's more than just a reskinning.
Yeah.
I think it is a different game. If you've played Wingspan, it's going to help you pick up Wormspan, but the way actions are taken, the way you're doing stuff is different enough that it feels like a different game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I prefer one over the other.
See, that's what I was saying, right?
I haven't played Wormspan or Wingspan in a while. So I need to play it again.
Right.
The problem is I bought the big box, so now it'll never get played again.
Isn't that the worst?
It's
Maybe
so
that's a
bad.
New topic, is why is buying big boxes mean you
we,
never
we
play the game?
We talked about it.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
More is not better.
Yeah.
but yes, Wormspan, it hit retail on Friday. Because of the long weekend, a lot of shops got it on Monday. I saw a big stack of Amazing Stories. I saw a big stack of Dragon's Den. So go out and grab that one if you're interested. If you like Wingspan, but like Dragons, you'll like
That's
this
the
one.
Thing. It's a great game and the theme is spectacular.
Yes.
So
I missed all of the art in it.
Which is sad because it's yeah. awesome.
Okay, let's get into the news.
Yeah, okay. Some stuff about Spiel, actually.
Okay.
BGG's Spiel preview isn't going to come out till after Gen Con, which is in August, so it's a while. But companies have started saying what they're going to kind of preview or demo there. One of them, called SETI, which stands for Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence.
Okay.
This one's from CGE. And you are exploring planets. You're scientists. You're NASA. And you are exploring planets by sending probes out into the universe, into the solar system. You can also use your telescopes to look for alien signals, detect alien signals. On Earth, you can upgrade your equipment so you can understand the data that you bring back better. And the coolest thing about this is that it has a 4-layer rotating board. I recommend you go look this one up because the board is really neat. It has like a sun in the middle of it and everything turns around with the planetary system. So similar to Search for Planet X, where you can, I think probably where you can only search for certain things at a time because of the way the solar system is shaped. That's kind of this idea.
Yeah. CG has been on a roll as well. A lot of companies have been on a roll. Yeah. But a lot of their stuff has been very good. I haven't played Kutna Hora yet, but I saw it played the other night at Amazing, and everybody was raving about it, and there was only one copy, and I think it got snapped up right away after the game.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks really cool.
Yep.
Another one, here's a hint. If I'm going to put a game in the news, it probably has some sort of 3D aspect to it, because I just think that's cool. I still haven't seen that really cool game we saw at Gen Con that had the blocks built up around it. I can't remember what it's called, but it looked really cool. Sidetrack. Here's the one I'm actually talking about. It's called Babylon, which we're all familiar kind of with Babylon, the ancient city. This is a Belgian publisher called Geek Attitude Games. And you are playing as a king in 6th century BCE. The king has a name. I can't pronounce it. I apologize. who wanted to make beautiful gardens for his wife, basically. So he hired an architect. You are playing as these architects. Basically, I think you're basically fighting to be the main one.
Yeah.
And you are trying to make the most beautiful garden. This garden is three-dimensional. It looks like Mousetrap. Like, you're putting all these things up top. Like, I don't know how it scores. It just says the most beautiful. But the picture of your individual player board, because you're each building your own, looks really neat. So I
suspect there'll be cards that say, do this.
Yeah,
to get this.
It must and, be. Yeah. So I'm really interested to see this one because I love anything where you're putting three-dimensional pieces together. So yeah, those are two for Spiel that I thought seemed really interesting.
Yep.
Kickstarter announcement-ish. June 2024, Weird City Games is going to do a second edition of March of the Ants on Kickstarter. So this is from Tim Eisner and Ryan Swisher. It was originally published in 2015. And so they've decided, this was Weird City Games' first game they ever did.
Okay.
So they decided they're going to do a second edition with new art and new gameplay mechanics, basically taking from all the stuff they've learned over the past decade. This is a 4X Civilization game.
Okay.
I know it doesn't sound like that from the name because I was a little shocked when I heard it, but you have an anthill. You are an anthill and you are trying to compete with the other anthills. So you're literally building your ant civilization to make your anthill the strongest.
Okay. I'm not familiar with it at all.
Yeah. It looks kind of like the box looked very, Search for Lost Species. You know, like most of those animal games that are coming out, very, very pretty looking. That's why I was a little shocked when I heard 4X.
Yep.
Releasing at Gen Con, game called Three of a Kind, also from Weird City Games. It's a party game. Players are presented with a category and three adjectives, and you write down one word to match each adjective, and you're trying to match other people. It sounds like an expanded version of Just One. Sounds kind of fun. I don't know if I talked about this one. Due out in 2024, later this year. Unmatched Slings and Arrows, which is the Shakespeare version.
Yes.
With Shakespeare and three of his characters, the Wayward Sisters, Titiana, and Hamlet as characters.
Yes, I did hear this one was coming.
It looks fun. In October, Thunderworks game is going to be releasing Citizens of the Spark, where you are playing as animal citizens or as the leader of a settlement with animal citizens who have been touched by a spark of intelligence. So you're trying to recruit citizens to get more sparks, and the most sparks wins.
Okay.
Sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Thunderworks, people behind Cartographers.
Yes, they are.
And finally, just recently, DC United got announced. This is the DC version of Marvel United, and it is coming to GameFound in June.
Yeah.
And that is DC United.
Yeah, DC United. Marvel United has done two or three Kickstarters now.
Mm-hmm.
And they have so many different figures. I think Adam has it all. I think Paul has it all. The game itself, I played the Spider-Geddon one because we picked it up at Gen Con, and it was basic. It was over very quickly. It was okay. Nothing special. I played it again at Adams with some different characters, and there was it was better. I'm a big DC fan, so I will look at this one, but
Might not buy it.
I don't know if I will get this one just because the game didn't hit with me that well,
Right.
right? And I already have one DC game on my
Yeah,
shelves
you do.
that I bought just for the miniatures, so.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, you're listening to David Shea on CFCR,
It's Bored on the Air.
and we are Bored on the Air, sponsored by Amazing Stories, and we have our game night there on Friday. I think we're going to bring some Rollin' Rights and probably one or two, maybe a little bit heavier games. We'll see. But the main theme will be Rollin' Rights. So, Paul, you can bring Sierra
Come
and
play.
come play some Rollin' Rights. I have a large collection of them, so there
Yes.
should be something for everyone. Hope to see you there. Main topic, Shay.
Box sizes.
Box
Game box sizes.
sizes.
Now, we're not talking about the massive game box like Anachrony or Gloomhaven or anything like that. Like, at least in my mind, I'm not necessarily thinking of that, right? I'm thinking of the games that come in a 12 by 12 box, right? They're big box, fit on the shelf. And then you open them, and about a third of that box is what's actually being used to store the components. And the rest of it is like a folded over cardboard piece so that it doesn't swirl around inside the box. Why?
Yeah, it's this came out of me buying a game that we had played that we really enjoyed, Guild of Merchant Explorers. Opening it up, putting everything from the game in about 22% of the box. The only reason it needed to be bigger was the sheets are a little bit larger, but it's a deck of cards and some cardboard pieces that once they're punched out, there's no space. I understand to see a game on a shelf, the box size needs to be a little bit bigger, right? It helps to have a bigger box to be seen. But use it, right?
Like, just fill, put something in there, right? And honestly, Habitats, if I'm not mistaken, is half the size, right?
Oh, yeah.
It looks fine on the shelf because it's tall enough, and then it's half the size, right?
That's exactly it. You don't have to be 2 inches thick,
Yeah.
right? And there's a lot of games that come jam-packed to the point where you can barely close those boxes,
Yeah.
right? Like all of the Shem Phillips stuff, the Garfield Games stuff, when he was doing the small box games, they were jam-packed and everybody complained because you needed more space,
Yeah.
right?
I don't know how game design production works necessarily, right? But I really think you should be testing your game box to make it the most efficient use of space. And like you said, to test it to make sure your stuff fits. We always laugh at Dinosaur World and Dinosaur Island, the Kickstarter versions, right? Because not everything fits in those boxes. I think currently the Dinosaur World bag is sitting outside of the box because it doesn't fit inside of it.
Yeah, it's there seems like there's two extremes. There's boxes that are over full, and then there's boxes that have nothing in
No,
them,
yeah,
right?
absolutely.
There's very few games that are just right, I would say, right?
Yeah.
And then I don't know what just right means, but
Well, so Wormspan
yeah.
fits everything pretty well inside, right? Like it just fits. I'd say, and to be fair, I've filled it because I put a box inside of it, right? But everything in there, you can fit everything. There's no box lift, but it also doesn't feel like stuff's really rolling around inside. Like it just fits inside. I was pretty happy with that one, right? So that would be my closest to
Yeah,
perfect, maybe.
and the stuff driving this, in my opinion, are A, producer or publishers want their games to be seen, but B, us consumers want that one box that you buy to be able to fit every single expansion for the rest of the lives of
That's
that game.
listen, that's fair. I'm not talking about expansions.
But that's what drives a lot of those box sizes, right? So, and I am one of those people. I am looking in the mirror as I see this, as I look across from me and I see Red Cathedral. And it's a smaller box game and it is jam-packed. And I have to put the expansion in behind it because I can't fit the expansion in it.
Yeah.
Right? And even with an insert that doesn't all fit in there, right?
Yeah.
So I see both sides of it, but the people that really, really push it and put nothing in that box, it to me, it makes zero sense.
My main issue is the ones that are like, to me, it feels like what they've done is we have to do a 12 by 12 box. Either that's the only size they can get and that's cheap, or they want to make it so it looks good on a Calyx. And so they put a game that can clearly fit into something much smaller into this massive box. Basically to look good on a shelf.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talk about waste in the board game industry. I really do think that that might be a waste of material because you have to put cardboard in so stuff doesn't fall around. Like, I don't know.
And sometimes like Garpil, like Alea, Ravensburger, they get into that, this is our box size.
Yeah.
And no matter what's in that game, that's the box size we're going to do. But some of them, you know, they're jam-packed. Other ones, they're a quarter full, right? Yeah. And it's like,
why? Why?
I like boxes that are the same size on the shelf. Don't get me wrong. But I also want something in them, right?
Yeah.
And my bigger pet peeve on top of that is when you buy a bigger box game and you pay a bigger box price but get a smaller box game, right? And I've had that with Nova Luna, where you have 50 tiles, and you're paying $55, $60 for that game, right?
Yeah.
At least Guild of Merchant Explorers was a $40 game. I wasn't upset with what was in the box. Mm-hmm. And I bought it because I liked the game. But I was also frustrated with the size, because I have to fit that on my shelf, right?
Yeah. I will say also, if you specifically buy a big box version of something, it doesn't fit everything. I have an issue with that too.
Yep.
Please test your games out so they fit in your box.
Well, and box sizes are getting bigger, which we're not going to go deep
into
this.
No, that's a big thing.
Because of everybody wanting game trays.
Yeah.
Right? They are beautiful. We love our inserts, right? But it's...
There's a little bit of a rant, yeah. But half the time I open the game and I really am just like, why? Why did you do this? What is the thought process behind this?
Yeah, and I know nothing about cost of punching out cardboard before it comes to you, right? And I know...
I don't need that necessarily. Well,
of those add space.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a good point.
But shipping also costs money.
Yeah.
Right? So... This is our rant.
This is Shay and Dave's rant hour.
Yeah. Thank you for being here. Hopefully we'll see you Friday night. I'm David.
And I'm Shay.
And we'll talk to you next week.
Have a good night.